Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Thank you again for joining me today for Blacks in Business Radio. We are here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we end at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time here on Black Talk Radio Network, where we bring you the latest and greatest in Black entrepreneurship. We give you tips, strategies, and information all together leading to help on your current business or getting you out of the workplace. If you'd like to reach out to us at any time, please feel free to do so at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. Again, that is weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. All right, today we are broadcasting for October 12th, 2017, and we have a wonderful treat for you today, Mr. Brother Jerry L. Green. He has the Black Business Expo, which is out of California. And I'll tell you a little bit about him from his bio. After a 12-year career in the United States Air Force, Jerry explored several career paths and finally determined that working directly with the community projects and members was exactly where he needed to be. He was involved in the initial planning and strategizing for the Moreno Valley Black Chamber as an advisory board member for 2 years, and then he accepted the chairperson position in October 2006. While serving on the Moreno Valley Advisory Board and developing his strong community ties, Jerry's affiliations through his real estate brokerage, Homes for Life, RE Team, Inc., and noting key indicators that the California real estate market was effectively on his marketing company, forlifeenterprises.com. After extensive market research, Jerry decided to launch the Inland Empire Black Business Directory and Resource Guide, a directory designed to help Black businesses increase sales and Black consumers. In December 2007, After extensive market research, Jerry decided to launch the Inland Empire Black Business Directory and Resource Guide, a directory designed to help Black business increase sales to Black consumers. I think that's what they and. Okay, that's where I'm tripping up. You guys forgive me, I'm reading. In December 2007, to ready for national exposure and opportunities, Jerry determined it was best to change the name of the directory to Black Business Resource and Networking Directory. Okay, so the Black brand, it's spelled out B-R-A-N-D, okay? So we are going to, of course, bring Brother Jerry on. Excuse me for my reading this morning. It's quite interesting, but you guys understand. So we're going to bring him on right now. Brother Jerry, do we have you here?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
All right. So we did read that brief little bio about yourself, and I'm sure that there is so much more that you could tell us. So as far as starting this directory, how does this differentiate you from any other Black directory? Because I see many popping up as people become more aware of the need to collaborate collectively to help our economy. How is your directory different?
Well, I have both a online and an actual publication, which we distribute in the Inland Empire, which is Riverside and San Bernardino County, which we distribute 10,000 bi-monthly. So it's actually a hard print, not just an online directory. Mm-hmm. And so the whole difference is we still go with the print, and we do that to actually help market, to push people to know about the website. So that's what's different about what we do.
Okay. Well, I find that people, although we are in the age of technology, people like myself, I still appreciate a printed copy of things I'm interested in. So that's good that you have both. Now, how often is this produced, the publication?
Bi-monthly.
Bi-monthly, so every other month. Okay. So had you ever had any thoughts of extending beyond California?
Yes. Our growth plan and business plan is right now we're in the Inland Empire, which is Riverside, San Bernardino County, the two largest counties in the United States. 2019, we will expand to LA County, which is with the same business model. So our business model is this. We publish the directory bi-monthly, and then we do quarterly Black Business Expos. So the company name is Southern California Black Business Expo. So we'll do that and expand to the LA market 2019, give it a couple years to saturate the market, and then we'll move to San Diego and do the same business model. So each area, and California is very regionalized, so each area is its own independent marketplace. And then when we expand outside of California, I already have the name, the website, it would be United States Black Business Expo.
Oh, wow. That is very, very interesting and a great strategic plan, actually. Now, with the expo, how many, I guess, vendors, how many vendors do you typically have at the expo?
You can go anywhere from 4 to 12. And what happens is that's why we do them so frequent, is because mm-hmm. everyone is busy. Everyone has mm-hmm. something going on. So mm-hmm. our concept is we are doing more frequent. So, and again, we already planned out until October next year. So you can look at mm-hmm. your calendar and get on one date. So we'll have an event this weekend on the 12th. We'll have someone there talking. I'll do the first session on how to do your 30-second infomercial. So we'll do a 20-minute talk. Then we'll do a 20-minute question-answer, and then a 20 minutes networking. And then we bring our next speaker on, which is going to talk about nonprofits. Same concept for that hour. Then the next person talk about crowdfunding. Then we'll talk about SCORE, because I'm also on the marketing team for the Inland Empire for SCORE. So we'll talk about what opportunities, what services SCORE offers. And then the last gentleman is Darrell Evans from Yurko Loco out of Las Vegas. And he's going to have a six-step telling individuals how to scale their businesses and how him and his partner, the consulting firm, have been able to help businesses scale up to $100 million.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds wonderful. So it's very diverse in the subject matter that is taught. And I know that the affiliation with SCORE is a great one. It's amazing how many people don't know that they have a SCORE in their town. I discovered it, I think probably about 8 months ago. I don't even remember why I discovered it, but I went down to the office and just was able to see all of the professions that they had there, you know, at your disposal to kind of explore. I also spoke with a mentor, and, you know, I was very satisfied with the services. And I think that, you know, more people need to just really connect with SCORE so that, that they can get the important information that they need.
Right. And you know, the thing is that so when I go in and I talk in front of a group and they say, well, Jerry, you know, we're white, you know, and you're Southern California Black business. How do we work together? I say it's simple. I know the needs of the Black community and the Black businesses, so I can be the bridge for you guys to work together, because my service mark is bringing communities together through business connections daily. And that's what I do. So I go out, and basically like military, we call a recon mission. I go out, find the information, find the sources, then I can go back and help individuals in our communities with business.
Okay, that sounds like a great plan. Now, with you mentioning, like, you know, this method, I'm just remembering back a couple of months ago, I was listening to a radio program, because I just love listening to radio programs. I mean, not just my own, but just I love it. That's how I learn. So I was listening to a radio program. It's called We Live Here, and it's local here to St. Louis. And I ended up contacting some grant program here. They have a local grant program. It's called the Arts Grant. It happens every single year. So I ended up reaching out to the Arts Grant board members, a couple of them. And, you know, just what you're talking about right now, they could not find the appropriate collaboration into the Black community. And when I say that, I'm saying because when they were looking at like 501c3s or people that were, you know, had 501c3s, they just didn't show that they were actually true to what they were saying what they were. And they just really weren't willing to fund them because they said that they couldn't get involved like that. So there's definitely a liaison that is needed to understand culturally where we are and then the deficits that we fall under concerning business. You know what I mean? Because I think that we are really unique in how we do business, and other people don't necessarily adhere or understand our business needs or, you know, whatever our deficits are. I just think that there definitely needs to be a liaison there.
Well, you know, let me tell you another story. Being a veteran, I went to St. Joe's, what they call SEJ, you know, Entrepreneurial Jumpstart School, back in October to November last year for a week. And the program is open to all veterans, entrepreneurs, and you do a 30-day classroom before you go and have your business plan. So then you actually go to school for 7 days, and they pay for everything, airfare, hotel, and everything. And then you pitch at the end, like Shark Tank. So I pitched, and so I get back here first week of November. I get a call first week of February, and a gentleman comes in, and with that, you have 60 to 80 lecturers coming in, all entrepreneurs. And being that I had really already been in business, I can relate to a lot of the actual entrepreneurs coming in. And I was the only one who actually really had a full-fledged business. Out of 20 people, the other ones, really, they had concepts and things they were thinking about doing. But I had been in business, and I do business consulting and all that. So, and so they were coming in and said, okay, yeah, we made $5 million. You know, we made $2 million. We made $12 million. So a guy comes in and say, last year our sales was $685 million or $650 million, excuse me, what are the numbers? And I'm thinking, you know, wow, you know, what do you guys do? So they have to start talking, you know. So we pitched at the competition. I came in fourth. I was like, okay, that's cool. We want some money, you know, while we pitch, we want some money. But in March 2nd, I get a voicemail. And the guy says, hey, Jerry, we met at St. Joe's. I'm really interested in what you're doing. and we can co-brand revenue share. Please give me a call back. So I researched, you know, his name and who he was, and he was a $650 million, $685 million guy, the president. Long story short, we came and we came to a collaborating partnership. And what was going on is because they could not find, and it's hard to find, black businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Jerry, you're the only one I know who actually have a publication and working in the community like you do. And so we, you know, worked through the process. It was like a 40-page contract, you know, so I had my people look at it and everything. So we went through all that. We signed. So just to say that there are many opportunities across the country because of a set aside and things like that, that black businesses can get into. And what the company, what we do, our collaboration, is we have basically a vetting platform. So say like right now, if you have a business and you're dealing with subcontractors, you can say, Jerry, I want to know their liability insurance, their workers' comp, make sure they got a business license, make sure all their vehicles have insurance on them. And all these documents have to be loaded up to our platform. And once it's loaded up to the platform, then both sides will get an email and say, basically, you're good to go. And we can put in requirements. You can need to have this updated once a month, once a quarter, once a year, whatever. But our platform manages that. Okay? And when the vendor is out of compliance, the sub is going to, both sides get an email and say they're out of compliance. So now I can pick up the phone if I'm the vendor, you know, say, CC, get off my website because you're out of compliance. Because now I'm not exposed. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm responsible for the vendor I sub out to.
Right.
So that's what the platform is. And I market that up under the website name is surecheckit.com.
Okay.
S-U-R-E-C-H-E-K. C-H-E-C-K-I-T.com. And that's just the opportunity that are out here. Because something else I would advise many black folks to do is to get into the actual construction area. Because across the country, you're probably looking at, I would think, 150 years worth of construction work. Because all of the infrastructure issues that we're having across the country, you know.
I believe that.
And if they're going to get into the contract delayed, it's three different acronyms they need to know. And that's RFI, which is Request for Information from the agency, RFQ, Request for Qualifications, and then RFP, Request for Proposal. So even if they're new going into the government lane, they can request them documents, RFQ and RFI, and they can see with the previous contractor how they wrote their proposal. And then they'll have a template to work from.
Wow. Yeah, that gives you some serious leverage if you can see that previous contract.
Correct.
That's wonderful. Okay.
And,
yeah.
And so this is, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
You know, so this is the kind of things that I talk to businesses about, you know, when I do the consulting and say, hey, look at, you know, how you want to scale your business. Because what happens is that it's just an old fact. And I had to really, it took me years to really buy into it and really go after it, start going after government money. Because small businesses, if we stay in the black lane, then the times, you know, as small black businesses and work with other black businesses, when it's time to pay the invoice, the person don't have the money.
You are absolutely right.
So with the, even though I work the black lane to help the black businesses, I still have some government contracts, and one of them is with Riverside County Sheriffs, and that is to help get more officers of color into law enforcement. Because we still have to get more officers of color in law enforcement. We have to get more individuals. It's still in the government sector. Because many times we don't know what's going on inside the building, and we need someone to pull our coattail to tell us what's happening. It's just the reality
wow.
of it.
Well, let me tell you this. So now that you've mentioned that you are involved with the law enforcement, I would tell you to look up Urlea, U-R-L-E-I-A.
U-R-L-E-I-A.
The lady who is the CEO of that is named Miss Gerald Sanders. I would love for you to connect with her because there's got to be some serious collaboration that's got to go on concerning this law enforcement, you know, and I think you would agree, you know, because
Go
ahead.
Let me say this right here. After the Michael Brown situation, I channeled my energy and I used to do public safety job fairs. So I've worked with law enforcement from San Jose, Sacramento, all the way down to San Diego County, Pasadena, San Jose, Riverside County Sheriff, Riverside PD, San Diego County Sheriff, San Diego PD, and just other ones throughout to try to get more people of color in law enforcement. Right now in California, we're probably 18 to 25,000 law enforcement officers short.
Wow.
And all the departments are trying to get the same people.
Wow,
and it's
that's
just
a
the reality
scramble.
Of it. But what it is, because when I have my events, you know, they all talk to the same candidate. You know, they all, you know, so that's how it goes. So what happens is if an apartment changes their pension plan or anything like that, they're going to lose officers. If officers, because in California, once you get on the department and you're there for a year, you get something what they call the post test. With the post certificate. With that, you can go to any other department in the state.
Okay.
So so now what happens is you have some departments that don't hire new recruits. They only go after post-certified officers. And because the compensation is so much better, then they leave. Prime example was San Jose. They had a mayor that came in, and he changed, him and the city council changed the pension. So in 2 years, they lost 200 to 400 officers.
Oh, my goodness. That's dramatic.
Yeah. So they're looking at it's going to take anywhere from 8 to maybe 14 years to get back up to where they were.
Wow. Well, you know, I think that, again, with you being in that position, you have the respect of those departments to come in and help facilitate the change that needs to happen, because this killing needs to really stop. I mean, I'm not holding back anything concerning that. I mean, I do not play those games concerning words. You know, our people are being killed by these police officers. So anything
the thing is, you know, in talking to sheriffs and talking to chiefs and the officers, they understand that they have some bad apples. They know that. That's no ifs, ands, or buts. And their, you know, their thing is when they try to identify them, then they try to address it. But see, let's, you know, again, because I'm in the community, my business goes across the board, dealing with mental health and everything, because I'm on several advisory boards for there for that also.
Right, right.
What happens is we need to look at who we elect as the DAs. That's really where it is. Because these DAs are putting charges in front of these officers that they can't convict on, that a grand jury nor can a jury convict on based on the rules that the judge give them when it's time to deliberate. You can't put charges on the officer saying premeditated, because you don't know his mindset when he drove up to the scene. And that's how they're getting off. So it comes back to who do we vote for as the DA? And we need to ask questions as a community when we see someone running, say, what is your thought pattern of how are you going to treat officers when they kill kill citizens. Are you going to go for hard charges, or are you going to give them a pass? And that's really what we see. Because what happens is something happens, and they run a game on our community because our community at a point got so happy that we're going to trial. Now we see the results after the court case is that they're not, we're not getting convictions. And they're playing the game to where they're not going to let out the verdict or the decision until after they have the infrastructure together with the police and riot gear, or they call in the Air National Guard and all this. So that's what we got to understand, the bigger picture, is it's dealing with the DA and the charges they put on that officers. Because how can you not convict these officers when we see things on video, but then you could convict a black man or a black woman with no video?
Right, exactly. That's ridiculous. Well, I definitely want to connect you with Ms. Sanders because, I mean, she's going hard for this organization. And when you get her bio up, you will see how serious she is about stopping the killing. I've worked closely with her on these projects because I'm everybody's virtual assistant. But yes. So that is a good thing that you are involved. And the mental health piece that you mentioned is also very important. I was listening to another radio show called LIB Radio with Brother Kitty Awardu. He comes on every day, I want to say, every day. And they were talking about, of course, this recent happening here in Las Vegas. And they were able to start talking about the mental health piece and, you know, just people who are in authority to carry weapons, you know, why are they not being checked for mental illness? You know, even people who have come from the military that, you know, may have something like PTSD, and then they're later on, you know, put on the police force or just put in charge of weapons, period. You know, there's not so much checking going on from what appears.
Well, the thing is this right here. Is HIPAA's going to protect them.
Okay.
You know, that's, you know, because what happened is someone would get diagnosed. Again, I'm a veteran, so I can tell you this. I'm a veteran's advocate also. So what happens is that it's your medical records for the military or the VA that you could have things there, but you don't have to disclose on the department. If something doesn't happen and the department psychologist or therapist doesn't do an evaluation on you, then you're going to go through clear. Because what happens is, then, again, it's no different than your medical records right now. Your next employer should have access to your medical records. Even though we see what's going on, you know, on the street with officers, but it's still the privacy, the check and balance system. You know, and when I go in and when I'm talking mental health to the Riverside County Mental Health Department and the commission, I'm saying you guys are not doing your job and don't have enough money for outreach, because then when we have black men, and I tell them black men get housed in prison, white men get counseling. That's just the reality of it. So what happens is that I want to see the reports and say that when a black man gets get arrested, that's the first time he's getting mental health treatment, then that shows you need more outreach money. So I approach it from that standpoint, you know, saying that, hey, you know something? And you see someone need mental health, you don't have to approach someone right away and engage.
Right.
You know, call in a social worker or a therapist to try to help de-escalate the situation. You know, so that's the approach I go in when I go to meetings and just tell them, you know, so you're not meeting the needs of the community.
That's true. You know, that's absolutely true. And that's the way to do it. Now, speaking of those issues, because they're so intertwined in our business and people like to try to separate things and kind of push them under the rug. And it's now the elephant in the room and people don't want to talk about it. But really, like, we have the ability to really succeed in some areas, but because of the continued oppression and just these different things that we have to deal with, there's just certain things that, you know, we really don't have access to. Now, concerning people who come from prison,
Do you have something in place there in California, like a portion of your directory that deals with that?
Well, you know, if someone gives, because out here they were dealing with the Prop 47, mm-hmm. and with that, what they were talking about was brothers coming out, or, you know, men or women coming out, and then helping them, if, you know, to clear their record of things. So they actually had clinics to help people to expunge their record and do some things like that. But there are mm-hmm. some support organizations out here in the community that help in the transition for people coming from incarceration and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
since we're talking there, something else I just launched, and because I work in the community, I started mm-hmm. getting a lot of calls for advocacy for Black students.
Okay.
So I just launched the Black Student Advocate. And
wow.
last week alone, we advocated 3 situations. And I've
okay.
been involved since May, probably 5 to 8 students went in and advocated. And part of that is to stop the preschool to prison pipeline.
Mm.
So what happens is that I was getting calls just because I'm in the community. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. what's really, because parents many times don't know how to navigate the educational, the school system, the districts, that mm-hmm. they don't expect the school districts to lie to them, you know. And so parents will go into meetings, and parents, you know, go into meetings not knowing what's going on and look up and all these bad things are being said by their child.
Mm-hmm.
About their child. And they're like, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I launched the Black Student Advocate, and a lot of people don't know, is 2 weeks ago today, on September 25th, it was the 60th anniversary of the Little Rock Nine.
Mm.
Okay. So with that, the phone number for the Black Student Advocate is 833-925-1957.
Now, are you only able to advocate for California students, or are you advocating around the United States?
Well, right now, it's because when I say advocate, we're actually, and it's just really right now the IE, that's somewhere near Riverside County. We actually have advocates that we send to the IEP for the parents,
mm-hmm.
but we look
right.
at the scale at nationwide.
Okay,
you know,
okay. Well, let me know when that happens, because I'm definitely interested, because that subject matter should be touching near and dear to everyone's heart because of how they are labeling our children these days. You know,
right.
just a lot of them have this IEP, and parents don't understand it. And, you know, I hate to say it, but this is what happens. We do this stuff where we sacrifice our children for a dollar, whether it be for sports or something crazy, or even an SSI check, and that's just real.
Correct.
Now they will tell you that.
That's how it goes. You know, I work with a lot of organizations, and one organization I was working with, the grandmother, she said that she got a call out of nowhere, and they told her, "Hey, if you put your grandson on medication, you'll get a check." She said, "Who are you and how did you get my number?" And
mm-hmm.
they said, I can't tell you that. You know,
mm-hmm.
but that's what happens. And once
that's
they
crazy.
Get that jacket, once they get
mm-hmm.
that jacket, that goes with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so what we do last week, okay, well, let me give you a little history.
Okay.
It was on the local news out here that back in May that a teacher called a young Black male a slave.
What?
Okay. Yeah. So I just got back in town. It happened on a Wednesday. The boy went to the teacher. I mean, went to the contract assistant principal, which was a Black male, and then went to the white principal, told both of them what happened. Went home, came back to school the next day, and the teacher still was in the class. So now both the assistant principal and the principal didn't think it was a big deal. So the grandmother called the local news. So they came out, and it was on the news. So I get home Friday morning, I get up. And I got like 5 people tagging me, "Jerry, what are we going to do?" And I see the video. So I immediately text the superintendent of schools here for Riverside County. And we talked early that morning, and I talked to a school board member. And then that afternoon, the superintendent called me, and we talked several times over the weekend. So we did several things in the community. We do what we call a min-mob. I don't know if you're familiar with that. A min-mob is basically where there's a group of men, and we go right outside the school property where the kids enter, and we just give kids high five and tell them have a great day. But they get a
Oh,
chance
okay.
to see men of color in suits and work clothes and just tell them have a good day.
Yes,
You
yes.
know,
I have
so
seen that. I didn't know what it was called. Yes, a men
yeah.
mop. All
So
right.
we did a men mob on Monday morning. Monday afternoon we had a community meeting. Tuesday morning we did a woman mob, and then Tuesday night about 10 of us spoke at the board. And I said,
Okay.
because the principal and contract principal did not make the environment safe for that young man by not removing that teacher, all three of them need to be removed from that school. And the
Absolutely.
teacher need to be fired up to termination, punished to the
Right.
highest level up to termination.
Right.
And
She shouldn't be
so, and
able to
that's what
teach at
happened.
all. She shouldn't be in any school district. She shouldn't be able to go anywhere else and teach children because she is psychologically destroying our children.
I mean, that's the easy answer, but because of the union, it's a process. And so with that, you again, no different anywhere else. You want to have due process, good, bad, or different. It's a horrible thing he's a male teacher also, what the male teacher done, but it needs to be a due process. So it was a process to go through it, but all three of them got removed. Then
Oh,
I get
wow.
another call. Then I get another call that a 7-year-old boy gets his paper back, and it's KKK written on his paper. 7 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I can tell you stories. Yeah, but and
That's
that's why I said
crazy.
I had to develop and come up with something to help these students, because our babies are going in here and dealing with so many different things that they need to know someone is out there to look out for them. So with that,
Absolutely.
also I purchased either 500 or 1,000 bands, and it has the black, it's a white black band with white print, and it has the 800 number and the website of the band. And I start issuing them out to students. And it's the same concept as Legal Shield when you get pulled over by an officer and they see the label in your front window. So now you know, teacher, counselor, you're one phone call away from someone asking questions.
Right. You're going to be held accountable for this
You're going to be
destruction
held
that you're
accountable.
causing.
And so last week, I got the call 2 weeks ago, and I went actually the Friday the 24th, I think it was, to 23rd to the school. But a teacher and the executive assistant to the vice principal told a young black male, "Oh, we took the money off another student. We bet you won't last here 3 weeks." So when the mom called me, I said, "Don't worry about it. I got you." Because I knew her previously. And so went in on a Friday, and everything changed. Okay, the whole way
Of course.
her IEP for her son was supposed to be 30 days out. They end up having it within 5 days.
What?
So I set in, a great brother who has prior experience as a union steward, for both Riverside City and Riverside Sheriff, I mean Riverside County, and plus also he had IEP with a son, so he's very familiar with the process. So what I look for the advocates is people who are either retired teachers, administrators, or some kind of union experience in representing people. And then we're going to bring in a
Absolutely.
gentleman who's well known in the industry for advocacy and bring him in to actually train all the advocates. So then
That's
we're all on
good.
the same page. And again, we don't get out And one thing right away, I tell the parents, it's not about us as the Black advocates. It's about your baby and you as a family
yeah.
getting the best services. I said, so
exactly.
you tell us what you want the end result to be. If you say, Jerry, okay, I want the fire, then that's what I'm going to say. If you say,
mm-hmm.
Jerry, I just want the services delivered for my son or my daughter, that's what we do. It's not about us. It's about meeting the needs of the community and the families.
Right. And about what the family decides they need. Yes.
Correct. And with that, when I said I went to the board and asked that all three of them be removed from that school, that's what the family told me they wanted. And I
Perfect.
Said, okay, that's what I'll speak on.
Oh, that is wonderful.
I'm what you call a social entrepreneur because what my business is still is community. It's about our community, so it's social. We have to be
mm-hmm.
involved in our community as we build our businesses.
Exactly, because if you're not building the community to build businesses, then, I mean, you're going to be at the top by yourself, you know,
there you
and
go.
That doesn't make any sense. It's very lonely at the top. Well, I, too, am a social entrepreneur. I volunteer places so that I can get the experience and information that I need to turn that into a business that will better help because I'll see the flaws in you know, these places that I volunteer at.
Right.
And
right.
and it's so needed, more of us doing the volunteer work. You know, we are so in a scramble to get a paycheck because we have all these bills that we don't even think about volunteering. But these organizations and these sinkholes of quote community service, they contain our people. So if we are not reaching out by way of community service and just, you know, volunteerism, how are they going to get the help that they need? I mean, it's just you cannot really get the help that you need from somebody that doesn't understand what you're going through and what your problems are. That just it doesn't happen unless you have an advocate or a liaison who is somewhat like you that understands your experience. So I'm totally there. I understand what you're doing. And this is so beyond the directory. And I love that because, like I said, it's lonely at the top. So if you're not
yeah.
down doing the groundwork, boots on the ground, helping our people in entrepreneurship and just our basic needs, again, just nothing is going to be done. It just because, you know, I've been involved with so many. Well, early on, I would say a few years back, I've been involved with some organizations that are just banana in the tailpipe. They're really not helping our people. They really don't have the money that they say that they have, and therefore nothing is being done. I'm no longer interested in those types of projects.
No, you know, and with that, I'm a member of the Riverside chapter at NAACP,
mm-hmm.
and I get a lot of referrals through them,
mm-hmm.
you know, for issues that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know I'm in the community. And when someone starts complaining about Black organizations, my two
mm-hmm.
questions are, how much money have you donated to an organization, and how many hours have you donated?
Mm-hmm.
So don't expect them to be there for your needs if you're not pouring into them. It just doesn't work like that. They don't
right.
have a staff or a budget to have full-time people. It just don't work like
mm-hmm.
that.
Right.
You know, and so... You know, so when I go out and things like that, I let the president and the first vice president know what's going on. And many times at the meetings, I do briefings as to what I had encountered over the last month or so. So I do work with other organizations and I collaborate with organizations. I join very few. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you,
right.
and I'll tell you why. The reason being is, because if it affects our community, I might have to be at your job and speak on it.
Right.
And if you're the director, I don't want you to try to call me later and tell me I was wrong for speaking out because your boss pulled your coattail and asked, do you know me? And you
mm-hmm.
try to call me later because your boss is pulling your coattail. So, you know, when I go out and speak, I'm going to speak as Jerry O. Green. I'll speak
mm-hmm.
as Black Media because of my directory. Or I'm going
right.
to speak as a Black student advocate. And I even have my own nonprofit also called Serving the People. So I
okay.
know I can't speak politically up under that hat.
Right.
So I will pull that out. And that's for if someone, so now, right now, as individuals come in while we build an infrastructure, if they come in and donate time, I can give them a in-kind service letter for their taxes because of their hourly services to the organization.
Well, that is very, very rich. I mean, I didn't expect all of this to be going on within the directory, but it's so good that it is, because we just have to be really multifaceted in what we're doing, you know.
Right.
Because, like, as I'm sitting here listening to you talking, I'm like, who do I know? Who do I know? You know, there's another lady there in California. Her name is Miss Darlene. She has an organization. You may have heard of it. It's called Ten Toes In.
No, I have heard. I don't know what she is, but it does sound
okay.
Kind of familiar. Ten Toes In. Okay. I'm writing
uh-huh.
it down.
Yep. Yeah, she's a wonderful woman that advocates for families of released inmates, and they kind of get them the support that they need and this and that. It's a wonderful organization. Definitely look it up. I mean, I just really enjoy directories and resources for our people. I think it's just so needed and so necessary. And as your business grows and expands into the rest of the United States, I think that you'll find that the help is, I know you know the help is needed, but just like unbelievably needed in our communities, you know, as you just see how we're suffering, like from like one vantage point, when the information comes across your desk, it's just so unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. The things that we have to go through just as a people, forget entrepreneurship, but I'm saying just as a people, the things that we have
right.
to go through. It just is so amazing to me. And so the resilience of our people is just always so surprising to me. I mean, even myself, I mean, but just the things that we have to overcome just to be, just to have an existence is just, it's crazy. So,
you know, I don't know how much more time are we wrapping up? How much more time we have?
No, we still have time. I mean,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because I know individuals who are doing, and again, I know you do too, and all across the country, we have some people doing some amazing work. You know,
I
know people who teach at a high school. You know, and she teaching teen moms and teen dads. You know, that's great work that's being done. You know, the Black in the Health program. You know, the CAP program out here. I mean, you know, it's just so just what you said, the resiliency that our people have, the fight we have, the commitment to just push through. I mean, you know, you hear some stories, I hear some stories like, wow. You know, it's just, you know, because you hear so much because people come and they tell you, you say, okay, you know something? I know somebody who can help you with that. I know someone.
Yes.
And that's the whole thing I tell people. I'm just a resource. I'm just someone out here in the community just serving the people, you know, and that's just what the nonprofit name is. And I just got my nonprofit probably now about 60 days ago. But I've been working in the community, you know, just serving the people. That's what the people need. So when you're going to come in and be like, hey, you know something? You know, and a lot of times they say, well, man, let me pay. I said, I charge for my advertising. What I just gave you, I don't charge for. I charge for my consulting. What I just gave you, I don't charge for. All I ask is you help the next person. Pay
right.
it forward. Help the next person.
Right, right. That's so necessary. And see, that's how other communities do it. I mean, it's just like breathing for them. But for us, we've been in such a scramble to get something for ourselves. We really don't understand that model all the time. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, well, a lot of times it's just a little difficult for us to really help one another. So as you're teaching and I'm teaching and other people are teaching and most of all leading by example, I think more people will get it. Some will never get it, but I think more people will get it. We don't have to be so selfish with our knowledge and information. You know, we need to be able to share the information because nobody is really your competition. Not in the way that you've been taught about. Nobody
right.
is really your competition.
Right.
Your biggest competition, I always say, is the person in the mirror and the person that you were yesterday.
You know, and we were talking about that. I co-host or guest host on a Sunday show here called Empire Talks Back. And we were talking about that yesterday on an after show, that it's about you. It's about you continuing to move the mark and push forward for who you are. And I'll say this right here, and this is the biggest, when people cheat in relationships, when they cheat on their taxes, when they cheat in any area of their lives, you're shortchanging yourself.
Yep.
Because sooner or later, something else is going to come up, and you're going to have that test again.
Yep.
And this time, that wall is going to be taller, and that bridge gap is going to be wider. And it's going to have to test you again to see if you're going to do the right thing. There's the, it's just who you are. So when you're thinking, and when people say, oh, Jerry, I like what you do, you know, you've been around for a minute. I want to do a directory. I give them a copy of mine and say, call everybody in there. Anyway, I said, call everybody in there. Because if you're not serious about serving the community, you're going to stop. Because it's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's work.
Right. Right.
And so that's the first thing I say is, call them. Call everybody in there. I say, call them. Because you can't come in our community real fast and think you're going to get over. It's
exactly.
Work. And one thing we are is very skeptical. So you have to be around. And then people say, you know something, he's not going anywhere. With that, you know, I'm a licensed real estate broker too. I've been in real estate since 97.
Wow.
But my truck is wrapped. My truck is wrapped. So where I am, you know where I am. There's no if, or the but. So I'm not going anywhere.
Right. Your information is there saying I'm here.
I'm here. You know? And at one church I used to attend, I used to always park my truck in the same place. And when I couldn't get that space, I had to move somewhere else. But people would call me. Over the years, I got at least 5 to 7 calls. People call me and say, Jerry, you didn't go to church today? I mean, Sunday? I didn't even know who they were because I had 800 of them.
Right.
I'll say, who's this? They say, no, man, I didn't see your truck.
Oh, they're looking for you.
They're looking for me. Because that's how consistent I am.
All right.
And one guy said, Jerry, I would come by and see your truck every day. And because I saw your truck, that made me come to the church. He said, if I could see your truck here every Sunday when I was going to do something else, then I could get committed.
Well, that's influence right there.
Yeah, so people looking at you, even though you don't think they are, they're looking.
That's true. All day, every day, they're looking. And if you know that, you would really act accordingly. If you truly cared about your community, you would act like somebody is watching you. I mean, because, of course, ultimately, God's watching you. But you are the example to many people. Maybe you don't feel that way, but people are definitely watching you, especially the children. You know, and people really, really need to take heed to that information.
I'm going to say a joke real fast. Say something funny.
Okay.
So because my truck was wrapped, and little kids would see me, you know, and guy came to me and said, Jerry. I said, what's up, Doc? He says, man, we see your truck everywhere. And my baby like, Daddy, they go to Ice Cream Man. Because you...
It's that symbolic. It's got a lot of things on it.
Yeah. You know, but again, you know, with that, like I said, you would know when you would see my truck, you know.
Right.
And
right.
I would use it, and I use it for marketing. So if I know I only could go to a meeting, say, 15 minutes, I try to get there as early as I can to park close to the door.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you go into the building, you got to see my truck.
Right.
So then people are like, Jerry, I saw your truck when you were at the meeting. I saw I had to leave. And that's how I would position and go and be in the community. And people always say, Jerry, you're everywhere. I know I can't be, but that's the perception.
Right, exactly. And they need to see that you are in the community. You know, that wrapped truck speaks measures. And not only does it speak measures that you're there, it's like, wow, like me, like when I was starting out, I would see your wrap truck and be like, wow, I want to wrap my truck too. Better yet, I want to get a truck so that I can wrap my truck. What business could I do that I could get wrap on? I would think like that as a young person, and you just never know how your influence is going to be.
And that's how it goes,
That is
So.
how it goes. That's definitely how it goes. Now, if people want to reach out to you for consultation or receive a digital copy of the directory or a hard copy of the directory or just be in contact with you in general, what should they do, Brother Jerry?
They could call me at 866-493-3394. That's 866-493-3394. The
Okay,
website is
go ahead.
www.sc, which stands for Southern California BBE, BlackBusinessExpo.com. And also, let me go ahead and give a shameless plug. We were voted the number one Black Business Expo by blackbusiness.org last year.
Wow. Well, that's excellent. Speaking of the expo, go ahead and let us know the dates of the expos coming up.
So it's Saturday, October 14th, and all my events are on Saturdays, So it's Saturday, October 14th, 2017, January 13th, 2018, April 21st, 2018, July 21st, 2018. All these are in the Inland Empire, right across the street from the Ontario Convention Center at the Gateway Hotel. It went through two name changes in the last 90 days. It used to be the Ontario Radisson Airport. And the events are from 8 to 3. And advanced tickets are 35, 45 at the door.
Okay.
And
If a
again, we
person
have
wants to
great
be a
speakers.
vendor, is that information on the website if they want to be a vendor?
It is. Yes, it is. But they need to call
Okay.
me because I don't
Okay.
let everyone be a vendor at my events because my
Okay.
events are business events. So with that, it's not my events are business events and they're not family events. And the difference is family events is like in a park. Anyone can come and, that's how it goes. My events are
Yes.
business events, so everyone pays to get in. So it's going to be a smaller crowd, but businesses. So I don't let people come in that's selling wares and things like that because not enough traffic, and I don't want to take people money just to take their money.
Right,
So I don't
right.
set people up to fail. So they can look at the information online and then give me a call, and I can tell them if we're a good fit or not. Because it might be that we might be a better fit for the directory versus
Okay.
the actual expo.
Okay, that totally makes sense. It's kind of like the trade shows, because trade shows, you can't be just doing any old thing in there. And I wonder if the expo is sort of modeled after the trade show. I'll have to come myself and get a glimpse of how you all do things and get involved myself, because again, I'm excited about you expanding into the rest of the United States. But we definitely thank you for joining us on Blacks in Business Radio. Feel free
Thank you
to
for having
join
me.
us anytime when you come back and speak. And what I want you to do too is let our listeners know where they can hear you on radio, because you mentioned this Empire Strikes. What is it called?
Entire Talks Back, and it's
Okay.
streaming. I don't have that information in front of me. KCAARadio.com. It's out of now they're in Redlands. It's 10:90 a.m. or 10:50 a.m. We're on from 10 to 11 every Sunday. And again, I'm a
Okay.
guest host, so when I'm in town, I go. But the gentleman who actually does that show is Wallace Allen. He's been doing it anywhere from 18 to 20 years. He's also the publisher of the West Side Story Black newspaper in San Bernardino, city of San Bernardino. Great guy,
Okay.
great brother, been my mentor since I started my publication and everything. And that's something else I would say. If you're looking to start a business, go to someone who's already in business and take them to lunch, breakfast, coffee, whatever, and ask them some questions. So
Absolutely.
you
Well,
can
I would
get
definitely
past the
love
learning
to.
curve,
I would love to get
and also
Mr.
see if they would be
Wallace
one
on
of
the
your
show.
mentors, And it's because with that, now you have someone who's looking out for your best interest, you have an ally, And again, it can help you get through some of the hurdles that you're going to see as being an entrepreneur and in business.
That sounds good. Well, I was saying I'd love to get Mr. Wallace on the show since he is your mentor. I mean, I've gotten such rich information from you. I mean, wow, what is it going to be like if I could get him on the show? I would really love to listen to that radio program.
That's a good deal.
Okay.
That's worth a good deal. I mean, that deal.
Okay.
I call him and say, hey, I done a show. She want to interview you. And it's a good deal. Don't even worry about it. I'll put you in contact with you.
Yes, sir. Well, I definitely appreciate that because we love to help each other out. That's what we do on Blacks in Business Radio. Like I said, there is no competition. We are only here to help one another. So I want to thank you, sir, for joining us.
If you need Black businesses, I could give you some. That's not even an issue. I love the exposure.
Oh, absolutely. We look forward to interviewing anybody that wants to come on that has a business. So send them forward, and we will definitely do a great exchange with you, okay? But in the meantime, we are going to end this program, and we will talk again very soon. If you have anything coming up and you would like us to talk about it on radio, come back anytime. You are welcome here, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everyone, that was Mr. Jerry. And I really, really enjoyed that directory because, you know, there's so many directories out there. And I don't even really know how well they're all put together because I just became saturated with the information and just things not really looking too great. I do appreciate people putting things together because, again, we are becoming aware of the issues with us coming together in our economics. So I appreciate that information. So you all should check them out. But yeah, if you have any more questions, of course, we will put those things in our Blacks in Business Radio Facebook page. And we look forward to talking to you again. Let's see here. This is the first hour. This is recorded, you guys. So you got to excuse that. But we'll be back with you in just a little while. Okay. Again, Blacks in Business Radio. And this is Cece, your one of your hosts. This is Cece.
Greetings, brothers and sisters. I would like to invite you to join Every.Black, the premier digital marketplace and directory for Black businesses and entrepreneurs. Membership benefits include representation on 12 websites, 12 Facebook pages, and 12 Twitter accounts. Your company will also be featured in the monthly e-letter. Sign up today by typing in Every.Black. Use the discount promotional code SISI. For more information, call 253-343-7284. When it comes to promoting your business, remember Every.Black.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Blacks in Business Radio. I am your host, CC Harry, and I am joined by my co-host, Brother Robert 11X Minor. Robert, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Wonderful, wonderful. Today is October 12th. This is a pre-recorded show, and we're dealing with what again? Tax liens, because you guys can't get enough of us talking about it. This is our fourth show dealing with tax liens. I am very, very excited to bring this show to you all each and every time because this is one of those areas that is just untapped by our people. This is that undiscovered wealth that we as a people just don't know about. And now what I'm saying is people are just kind of bypassing it like it's too good to be true. You know, we have been kind of put in such a place that we think that we have to go out and get these 30-year mortgage loans and just totally put ourselves under oppression. Robert, have you experienced some sort of interesting situation when you tell people about tax lien property?
I haven't, not for real. Just curiosity, you know. People are very curious about, you know, the fact that they can own a piece of property for $5,000 and $6,000. That's about the response I get, you know, when I'm talking to people about it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that people are always blown away, but really, I think after it resonates with them a little bit, they're just really in the mindset of, this is just too good to be true, you know, and they always ask me, well, have you bought anything yet? And my explanation is no, because the last auction, which was my first auction, I was just really observing, and pretty much the next day had to be on a plane to Hawaii, or was that the same day? I don't remember, but it was really crazy. So I had to kind of hold off on that, but I'm looking forward to being able to say, yes, I have purchased a property. I will be ready when the time comes. But we will definitely be at the next one, which is October 17th here in the city of St. Louis, down at the same courthouse. What is it? What street is that on? Is that Market? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's Market.
Okay, Market Street. Yeah, Market Street. So what we didn't talk about in depthly was the other properties in the county. There is a list of 65 pages of property in St. Louis County. We're dealing with the city right now with this tax lien sale, but there is a long, long list, 65-page long list of properties that are still sitting in the city. Now, with those properties, you can actually just go to the website, find out what the taxes are owed on them, and then you can go into the office and you can put your bid in. It's so funny because months ago, somebody tried to explain this information to me, and I kind of was like, what is he talking about? This is too good to be true. I've heard of the tax lien sale where you go to this auction, and then, you know, you bid and this and that, whatever, you know. So when he was telling me about that, I just was like, okay, whatever. And he just really did not have the best way of presenting, but it's fine because it was that seed planted. I think I talked about this before. And so now I know exactly what he was talking about. Another thing is we kind of get lazy, you know, like I said, I was going to go through this whole list of 65 pages. I haven't done it yet. I've picked and chosen. And then I think actually I was discouraged because before I really knew how this list works, I found a piece of property. So I thought that was on the list and found out it just actually wasn't the property on the list. And there's a trick to it. Like when you go on the list, and you guys, I'm going to post these links in Blacks in Business Radio so you can see which list I'm talking about, and I'll help you navigate through them. But you go to this list and automatically you look at the address. And if you're a smarty like me, you're like, oh, wow, I could just Google this list, you know, and get in there and totally look at this property and be so excited. But when you use that Google, it's not accurate for these properties. You actually have to use the mapping system that they have on their website. So word to the wise, you know, just really reach out to us for instruction. If you want to know more about this tax lien property, tax deed property, post third sale, which is what's in the county, anything like that, if you want to learn more or you want to talk to us up close and personal, please reach out to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. So what we want to do right now is bring on our expert, Miss Tiffany Making It Happen, Tyus, who has purchased property from the tax lien sale. As a matter of fact, she comes all the way up from Atlanta, Georgia, not once, not twice, but a million times to scout out her prospects. She comes up here and she makes it happen. So let's bring her on right now. Tiffany, can you hear me? Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Can. Okay, perfect. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are so good, and we are happy that you're able to come on with us because you are, like I said, our resident expert coming back and forth from Atlanta. Sometimes I think you're just going to move here. Keep coming back and forth.
I love Atlanta. I love Atlanta, but I do I'm able to recognize opportunities when I see it, you know what I'm saying? And I definitely appreciate you guys having me back on the show today, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are happy that you are on the show again. Now, you said you love Atlanta, you love Atlanta. You know, I love Atlanta too. And I don't know exactly what the climate is there as far as properties and tax liens and that type of thing. But this is just a little segue to the left. You know, I visited Atlanta in July and I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. And I think you guys do have the opportunity there, but you have a redemption period, right?
Yes, we have a very long redemption period. And it's a process. It's not as simple as going on a property and the highest bidder gets the property. It's not that simple. With Atlanta, Georgia, West City of Atlanta, you're going to have to go through a tax lien process. And once you get past that tax lien process, then you're going to go to a tax deed process. And each of those particular processes, there's a length of time you have to wait before you even get to the next step. And so it's like it's anywhere from a good two and a half year process if your intentions is to have the property itself. And that's only if the property owner no longer wants the property. So it's a lot of ifs, ands, or buts. You understand? So
it's your money tied up basically for 2.5 years or so.
Your money is tied up, but it is collecting interest as well. So you are making money.
Okay. Well, that totally makes sense. But for those that want that instant gratification, you would suggest that they come up to St. Louis, correct?
Correct. And if you don't have a problem with having investment property out of state, not in your immediate city, you know, because sometimes we do have to get past that barrier that, you know, we have to have the property right here, and it doesn't have to be right here with us. You can have it as long as it's an investment and it's affordable. You can actually invest anywhere. You know, you just have to find the right situation, you know, that works for you and your budget, and you're able to make it back and forth to wherever that piece of property is.
Mm-hmm. And boots on the ground. I mean, you have boots on the ground here in St. Louis. You have your parents, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing. So now we are recapping kind of, but what we'll do is we'll go backwards a little bit for those who, for whatever reason, have lived under a rock and don't know what we're talking about here. You guys, we are talking about purchasing tax lien properties. Now, Tiffany has done this for a little while now. Most recently, she has purchased two properties in St. Louis. And then some land in, where is this land at, Tiffany, Tennessee?
It's in Memphis, Tennessee.
Okay, in Tennessee. Okay, so tell us about these two properties and pieces of land that you purchased. Like, you know, if I'm a person just sitting here listening, you telling me that you just purchased this, what does that mean? I mean, is this some property that is livable? Is it a shack? Is it like... I mean, what kind of property is this that you're purchasing?
It's actually both the properties, the structures that I purchased there at the St. Louis tax sale. There were people living in the properties. And one of the properties that I just got in August, people are still living in that property right now. And so they're livable units, full brick units. They're just behind on their taxes for whatever reason. They haven't paid their taxes. And so in the city of St. Louis, what happens is once you're 3 years behind on your taxes, what they're going to do is take your property up for tax sale because they still want to be able to collect on those taxes, whether it's going to be from the property owner or from a stranger or investor or somebody else who wants the property, you know, so they're going to collect on that. Now, with one of the properties that has someone living in it currently, I would, of course, have to, you know, once I get my deed, I'm going to, you know, contact the sheriff's office, pay the fees in order to get, you know, a legal eviction, you know, just to get them out of the property. My previous property, someone was living there, and I was actually willing to work something out with them, but they moved out of the property prior to me coming back to actually go ahead on and setting everything up with them. So, they're livable, electricity's working, water's running. You basically just have to clean out the stuff that they've left, clean it up, paint if it's needed to be done, and put it up for rent, for a renter to come rent the property. And that's income, you know, coming into your home. Yeah, it's income.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with these properties, how do you decide what the rent will be in, you know, for the area? Do you do some sort of specs, or how do you know?
Well, yeah. Basically, you would. Well, basically, what I've done is gotten to know the people in the neighborhood, you know, and you know, you ask questions and everything like that, and you will also speak with a real estate agent to see what the market rent is going for that area. Now, for City of St. Louis, you know, you can get rent from anywhere from good $600 to $700 tops, because you are in the city, and depending on the neighborhood itself, whether that can, you know, fluctuate $100 here or so, up or down, basically. But at the end of the day, you're not looking at it as a place that you live. You're looking at it as a place that someone has to live. Someone has to pay rent here. And you're making it livable so that they can pay rent and pay rent to you for as long as they possibly can, you know, because you want that money continuously coming. It's an additional additional income coming into your home. And so, but you have to do your legwork. You have to do your legwork when you're purchasing properties. And with the particular, with the tax sale there in St. Louis, there aren't any liens on it, no mortgages on it. There's nothing that's going to come attached to that property other than the brick and mortar structure itself and the land that it sits on. That's all yours that you're going to pay for. And you don't have to worry about anything else other than getting it up and running for someone else to rent it out, or if your intentions is to resell it. You have to look at the fair market values of the properties there in the area and see what other homes have sold for and when was the last time homes have been sold in that area to figure out if you want to sell it or if you're going to just put a renter in it and collect the income off rent.
Right, right. And then Robert also, of course, is the expert that we have, resident expert on owner financing. Robert, what would you suggest for owner financing?
Well, you know, I don't normally buy a residential property. I went to the tax auction sale and I saw the opportunity, the same opportunity that the sister is talking about. And that really triggered a wonderful idea in my mind in terms of making Black people property owners and creating mortgage notes that, you know, they can afford and giving them the opportunity to actually come into ownership of property. And with buying the real estate as cheap as you are buying it at the tax auction sale, having it free and clear, you can just create a mortgage note on that and eliminate. For me, I don't want to deal with, you know, all the headache of renters and, you know, the little
That's
bitty
true.
Thing that you have to go out and maintenance on the property. The homeowners, once you make a person a homeowner, they are responsible for all of that, and their level of responsibility typically goes up because they have an invested interest in it. So that's the only angle I see at residential property for me. I've only owned one piece of residential property in my entire real estate lifespan. But as I say, when I went to this auction, with the knowledge that I have, I actually saw a opportunity to literally create wealth, ongoing wealth. I mean, just keep repeating the cycle over and over and over again. And when you really get why you should be creating mortgages instead of rent, it's a really huge benefit. I can think of three things that you should consider when you buy these properties and create mortgages. One, excuse me, I got some sinus issues. But one is, as I said earlier, avoiding the headache of dealing with renters. That's one thing. Two is, you know, when you create a mortgage, it's definitely a double win for you, the seller, simply because, you know, in the mortgage, if you ever bought a home, and you go over your amortization sheet, you notice two things. You notice a interest payment and a principal payment. Well, those two payments adds up to one note. But in the real scheme of things, those are two separate payments. The interest payment totals one amount. The principal payment totals the amount minus the down payment. Once you put the down payment, let's say if it's $90,000, you put a down payment of $2,000 down, then your principal is going to be $88,000. So let's say that interest is 6 to 8% on that loan, and you do a 20-year loan, and I'm just shooting off numbers off the top of my head. I can come pretty close. Let's say you do 6% interest on a $88,000 loan, then you're talking almost doubling the principal amount in the interest alone. So now what would be $88,000 would turn out to be somewhere around $200,000 when it's all said and done. And that's the mathematics that most people just are not getting as I try to explain this to them. Another thing is if you decide you want to sell that house for cash, depending upon the state that you're in, then you're going to have what the government call a capital gains tax. And you can avoid mm-hmm. that tax or you can get around that tax by another property. Once you make that sale, then you go, I forget the form that it's called, but you buy another piece of property, and that kind of helps you get around the capital gains tax, if I'm not mistaken totally. I have never sold a piece of property for straight out cash. So that part of the game, I'm not totally 100% sure, but I do know I'm almost right where I need to be with what I just said on that. So it's just mathematically and responsibility-wise, that's the only way I would go with dealing with residential property. My love is commercial property. And even with that, it's easier to buy the commercial property doing it that way. So that was the thing that I saw at the tax auction sale that really just ignited my my thinking to a whole nother level. So it's a lot of opportunity there if someone really understood the mortgage side of real
right.
estate.
So let me go back a little bit to understanding the mortgage side of real estate. Now, what I recognize about a lot of people, because I'm one of these people, when I start hearing certain words, I all of a sudden space out because it reminds me of fifth grade math class that I wasn't good in, right? So you're talking about amortization charts and numbers and percentages and capital gains, and I'm like, womp, womp. Okay, so let me just break it down a little bit for us all. Again, Robert is our resident expert. But what he's saying to you is essentially when you buy one of these properties, which is not hard to do, you become the bank. You know how you're paying Wells Fargo for your mortgage or Bank of America for your mortgage or any of these other mortgage companies that you sat down and you signed your life away for 30 years. You can actually turn around and do this for your community. You can become the bank for your cousin, sister, brother, best friend, whatever. You can become their mortgage company. You can have them paying you, and you gain the interest off of that property. And I know that this sounds like something that is just totally out of your, you know, thinking pattern and thinking process, because we always think that we need to give somebody else our money. But this is a way, like Robert was saying, to keep the money in the community. With these tax lien sales going the way that they're going, I mean, when I was there, I was blown away by the people that were there. I mean, I was like, wow, there are people in here buying properties. But with our people being in these positions to buy this property, there's no way that we can't loan to each other. I mean, and in a big way, like Robert's saying, why can't we get these properties and go ahead and make our brothers and sisters homeowners versus renters? Because I'm going to tell you, I've looked into the rental market here within the last 2 days, and it's pretty sick and it's pretty sad. And when I say it's sick and it's sad, there are people renting properties that they just don't care about. They're just here to collect a dollar. Now, understandably, there are places that you wouldn't necessarily want to live because of the neighborhood. But like Tiffany said, somebody wants to live there. But if you're a landlord, you should definitely make sure that you would want to live there, or you wouldn't mind living there as far as what the inside looks like. Make sure that it's free of pests. You know, the appliances are decent. You know, somebody's not getting sick off of whatever environmental factors are going on in your house. I mean, I've looked at some properties and it is just really crazy. So why can't we go ahead and economically do something for our community? You know, we talked about this, you know, our group here. We talked about, you know, pooling together and making some things happen. And I think we're doing that. This next tax auction is October 17th. Is that right, Tiffany?
Yes, it is. The 17th, the 18th, and the 19th. It's 3 days.
There you go. The 17th, 18th, and 19th. Now, when I looked at the list, I was like, wow, this is not like the other list. There's so many properties last time. So what is going on this time, Tiffany?
Well, basically what happens on this, October is the last sale of the year. And with the last sale of the year, this is basically these two pages of properties is the very last of the properties that's going to be going up for tax sale this year. You remember it started in June. So this tax sale season in St. Louis, the city of St. Louis starts June, July, August, and October. So this is the last of the batch of the taxes that's due for properties in the city of St. Louis that's past due for 3 years. And it's two pages. Yes, it is. And it's very slim pickings because of the fact that, you know, we're used to looking at the other pages, the other sales.
Right.
And the other sales is like 10, 15 pages long. You know, properties galore, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I know that I come to every sale because I can't get nothing if I'm not there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, and just like yourself, Cece, I was, before I started purchasing properties, I was going to the sale because I was in awe at what was actually going on, and I couldn't believe that it was actually real. So first I had to see it for myself and do more research, and, you know, people selling billboards for $900. And I was like, well, dang, I could have bought that billboard for $900. And then, you know, someone says to me, well, what you going to do with a billboard? It's two sides on that billboard, and I can charge companies that's in that area on each side to advertise on that billboard. That's money. You know,
that's
they say,
money.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Yeah, because you can. That's you're spending it for investments. So, but basically, when I start seeing stuff like that, I say, hold on, next time I'm coming with some money because I can get something, you know, and, you know, you learn more. You go and you make sure you learn everything and see it for yourself because, you know, just because if I was someone at home listening to us on this show right now, I'll be thinking, oh, they just playing. But if you come and see it for yourself, it's actually real all day, every day. And they're doing this every year for 4 months every year in this city. And I'm scared that one day it's going to stop.
Yes,
because, you
that
know.
Is what I said. I said that because the more and more we become aware, they're going to change the rules. That's why I am, like, adamant. Like, we have got to get the word. I can't believe you said that. See, I didn't want to say nothing about it, but that's what I have been thinking the whole time. They're going to change this.
The CC, they're definitely going to change it. When I first start going to these tax sales, we were on the bottom floor when we first go into the courthouse. Right there, standing in that area, and it was nowhere near as many people as it is now. But now it's standing room only. You know, it's people blocking the doorways, not having anywhere to, you know. And so it's like I've seen it come from you know, a few people to hundreds. It's a lot of people in there, and they're spending some serious money.
Let me tell you something. This is what I found out. Well, this is what I heard, and I believe it. Let me go back in my stuff because I'm going to tell you what I found out. Okay. So I don't know if you heard, but there is a new show coming on HGTV. I'm trying to find this message. Mm-hmm. Lord, I don't see it. There's a new show, a black couple on HGTV. It's called Flip Flop, and they're a black couple. Somebody told me they are coming to this tax lien sale to buy some property.
When?
This tax sale, October 17th.
October? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yep. They can come. Come right along with everyone.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That's how big right. This thing is getting, because now HGTV is on it with they black people. They done got some token black folks to come to our tax sale. Shoot.
Right, and that's the thing. You know, the sheriff, that's whole monologue about all this stuff, he didn't use to, that never used to happen, you
right.
know. And so now you got this guy up here, the sheriff, and he's doing his thing. And I was like, okay.
I know. I was like wow, we need some snacks.
Right, this is the first time it has ever happened. Just like we
wow.
moved upstairs in that room. We wasn't in that room. We didn't have chairs. We were standing in the lobby. But that's where it's growing, and it's growing, and it's growing. And, yes,
mm-hmm.
I can still afford these properties. That's why I'm still coming back to see what more I can get. But eventually it's going to stop. It's going to change. Nothing is never going to remain the same. And if you
right.
can get it while you can right now, why not get it?
Right. Why not get
not?
It? I mean, you're going to look back after you evolve a little bit and be like, dang, they was talking to me about that. Why didn't I do nothing? You know, and
right.
we're here to help and facilitate your process. You can reach out to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com. We actually have a package deal where we will put together your trip to St. Louis, whether you decide to drive or fly. And we also can set up your transportation and hotel. Now, we can also put together a package for you if you would like us to do the research on properties available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, reach
mm-hmm.
out to us to weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com, and we will connect you. Now, we're going to be doing this for this tax sale and also the tax sales happening in 2018. So if you, by chance, are listening to this on podcast, it's not old. Because the tax sale is coming up again. So reach out
exactly.
to us at weareblacksinbusiness@gmail.com so we can put together this package to you and help facilitate your trip to St. Louis, or facilitate you purchasing and using us as boots on the ground, because we will definitely do that for you. But I am so excited this time because I'm ready. So what I need to do is actually go and do some driving around myself. Now, let me ask you, Tiffany, had you looked mm-hmm. on the sale list for the county?
Well, see, and that's why I found out about the county when I was doing my research about the city. Now,
mm-hmm.
the county list is humongous. It's a
yes,
very,
65
very...
pages.
Yes, currently, yes. Today is 65 pages. So,
yes.
And so,
yes.
But... I heard you say you kind of pick and choose the properties you go to, and
mm-hmm.
I've learned that I can't do that because I want to see every property. You know, I want to see, because something you may be missing on that list that's a gem and that is, you know, is a great property, but you're not looking at it because for whatever reason you're not picking it on the list. So just like the City of St. Louis tax sale, I comb through the pages. I comb
mm-hmm.
through them and try to look at each and every property that I've researched prior to coming back to the city to see, make sure that this property is a yes, or if it's a maybe, or if it's an absolute no, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I know what they are. Now, but with the county, the city, St. Louis County, that's like the suburbs to the City of Atlanta, like the suburbs. Now
that
they,
dang list is gold. I'm gonna tell you that.
Yes.
Okay.
But their
mm-hmm.
properties are a lot more. You know, it's you're not gonna spend $13,000 or $15,000 or $2,000. You're gonna spend a little bit more. But at the end of the day, it's still a lot cheaper than getting a mortgage. You understand what I'm saying? And just doing what you have to do to get the property together. You have to do your research. Make sure that no one has gone in there and kicked in the walls and took all the copper out. You know, there's certain automatic basic things that you should look, no matter what property you're going to get, whether it's going to be a county or city. But, you know, the list is humongous, but it's different than St. Louis City. You can actually just go in there and pay for it, cash in hand, and it's yours. You know, but like you said, in the city, the city, the county, the land bank, the LRA, it's a lot of different things at one time. And so maybe the tax sale thing isn't for some people, and that's fine. Then you go to St. Louis County and see if you can go purchase across the counter. That way, you know, you may find something in the county. You may not want to live in a city, or you may not want to own property in a city. You know,
this is how the county actually works like this. You can't just walk in. You got to go there, and you actually have to put your bid in, and it's still a process.
Yeah, it is still a process. It is still a process. Even purchasing a home through Wells Fargo is a process.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's not like you can go over there like buying a stick of gum. You got to make sure that you tell them, you know, that, yes, there is a process.
The details, yes.
Know, people got to know the details. But just so you all know, you know, Tiffany is the expert because, again, she has purchased property. And we here are bringing this to you because we want you to gain wealth. And one of the ways to gaining wealth is by getting real estate. They don't teach you this in school. They don't teach you this at home because they don't even know it.
No.
But we're here to teach it to you so that you can share it with your family members and your children. And it's so funny because, like, sometimes we don't share stuff with our family because we already know what they're going to say. But I was talking to my dad yesterday, and I never talk to him about stuff because I know where he's at, right? So I was talking to him about the tax lien, but I said, let me see what he's going to say. So I said to him, I said, you know, the tax lien sale is coming up. I said it to him just like that because I don't know if he knows what it is. He was like, oh, yeah, I seen that lady on TV. She bought her house, or she was in a house, and somebody bought her house at the tax sale, and she was still living in there after 3 years, and now they want her out. I was like, oh, my goodness, what is he talking about? So the only thing he knew about the tax sale was some lady on the news that was getting put out of her house after 3 years. So I was trying to explain to him about the tax lien sale. He was like, oh, nope. To go into that sale, you got to pay $500 to get in. I said, oh, my God. Okay. Who have you been listening to? That's not true.
Right.
So I'm using my dad as an example, okay? There's all these myths flying around keeping you from getting what you need to get. I don't listen to other people. I go to the horse's mouth, okay? The horse's mouth, meaning you get on the internet, you do the research yourself, you reach out to us so that we can help facilitate the correct information that you need to purchase property or to get ready to purchase property. Come on now. I mean, stop taking up all these things.
And June is right around the corner. June is coming. So that gives you time to prepare and stack and save money. You know, to get prepared for, if you're not ready for this October sale, just get ready for June sale, because it's going to be a lot more properties than just these two pages that's coming up for October.
But you guys, I mean, if you got two pages for this month, I mean, this going to give you a wonderful head start instead of combing through pages and pages and pages of property. Just take this as like a little practice run. Get these properties, do a Google search, and just see what you can see. If you see something on there that you might be interested in, definitely reach out to us because we can make it happen. But we're going to be up front and let you know. You got to have that money, though, because we're not going to be there boots on the ground, and then you say you want the property and we get it, and then, bam, suddenly you don't have it. Because what happens, Tiffany, if you win the bid and you don't pay?
You are banned forever from being able to bid at a tax sale in the city of St. Louis.
Banned
you
forever.
Not be able to ever bid again, ever.
Okay, so listen, people, you're not going play us like that. if you want property and you want us to be boots on the ground for you, there is a process. We can put this together the right way, but we are not doing it like that. You just know that ahead of time we will have the funds ready to give to the sheriff or whoever he is. And just to make it happen like that for you. Robert, what do you have to say?
Oh, yeah, I definitely support this message. That's what I have to say.
Okay. Definitely support this message, honey, because I'm telling you, I'm very excited. You know, it's about the experience. You may not have the money right now, but it's just like preparing for a test. How do you prepare for a test? I mean, you have to study. You got to study even the kind of people that go to these tax sales. Because like Tiffany said, it wasn't like this before. And when I say like this before, that place was crowded. And I would like to say it was because of our radio program. I'd like to say it's because we were spreading the word. I don't know if that's true or not. But just by Tiffany saying, wow, this is changing, it makes me very excited for our people because that's who you saw in there. I mean, you saw some white people, too, and other races, but the majority of those people in there trying to get that property was our people. So what does that tell you? That tells you it's your time, okay? It's your time. And this, and St. Louis, I looked it up. St. Louis is one of the country's lowest rental rates still.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're like number three. So I think that just the opportunity is there. If you want to be a landlord, if that's what you want to be, this is just really, really a good time for that. It's really a good time for that. So I would suggest that you all reach out to us. Tiffany, if they want to get a hold of you to talk to you more in-depthly, how can they reach out to you?
They can reach, they can call me at 404-732-3304.
Perfect. Okay. So what do you have for them? If they want your expert advice, do you have like a package for them to where you can facilitate help?
Yes, I do have a package as well that basically the boots on the ground as well, where we if you need someone to hold your hand through the process, because at first it can be kind of scary if you know you've never been to St. Louis or if you've been there
scary.
But you never purchased property, yes. So this is scary, you know, just trying to, you know, do this for the first time. But we can hold your hand and assist you in the process of, because just going to the sale and bidding on it, that's just the first step. You still have to get a confirmation done, and you still have to get your deed in your hand. There's still other little steps that you have to take. It's still a process. The whole thing is a process, but it's a process that's doable. I do it. I've done it, you know, so I can show you that. I can show it to you and also walk you through the process as well. We have the packages available for you where if you need someone to just research for you, those packages, all the packages available. The only thing that we need from you is someone that's committed at doing it and having your money up front.
Absolutely. And we also have a expert entrepreneur attorney to create all our documents for us. So all these things are done correctly. It's not any kind of bootleg shenanigans. We want to do things correctly so that our people can get what they need. You, like Warren Valentine says, you push me and I'll pull you. I definitely believe in that. And it's about time, people, that we get it together and get it right, not just for us, but for the next generation. They need to see us doing something, because this foolery that I see going on now is showing me that people do not have correct information. If they had correct information, they'd be moving and doing things a little bit differently. So, Tiffany, do you have any last words for the people?
The last words for the people is stop waiting. Stop waiting until never, because you're waiting for never. Just do it, you know. If it's anything you want to do, if it's, you know, purchasing properties, purchasing land, or whatever that is, desire that you have. We only have one life that we're going to live. And if you have children that you want to have something once you're gone, give them something, show them something. But you have to start it for them. Stop waiting and just do it.
That's right. Just do it. And we ain't even Nike. Okay, Brother Robert, do you have some last words for the people?
Yes. I mean, this is so very real. Everybody that's listening, this is a very real opportunity, And I advise you to get in on it. You know, owning real estate is about the most lucrative thing that I've ever done personally. And it frees you up. Freedom costs. You know, freedom ain't free. It costs. So you got to have the necessary means to afford to be free. And once you get a taste of what freedom is really truly about, you just got to keep getting it more and more and more. You want to be totally free. You want to own your time. And real estate really can help you do it if you set up the mathematical formula that's going to win all the way till your death or until the next generation. I mean, you can set it up for 3 and 4 or 5 generations down the line if you do it correctly.
Absolutely. And that's what the other folks have done. And we need to get to getting, because I'm going to tell you, I can look back at my great grandmother and my great grandfather. They were on that pathway. They were doing things correctly. But it was the next generation that starts screwing things up. Okay, so it's time for me to pick up where they left off. Seriously, because I really
one more thing before you go. Here's a food for thought for everybody that's listening to this show. This is a rule that was taught to me, and I think everybody needs to know this. For however many children that each one of you people that are listening to this show, for however many children you have, that should be the minimum amount of real estate that you own. So keep that as food for thought.
The minimum amount. So if you got 8 children, doggone it, you need to own 8 pieces of property, whether it be just a piece of land. Oh,
right.
We got to talk about this. When you come here, actually, no, I'm going to send you the link. Okay, so this is what we saw the other day. Okay, I'm so excited, I forgot. So you know how, okay, there's property with a house on it, but then there's just property, there's just land, like you bought land.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There are these manufacturers here that make, here in St. Louis, that make those tiny houses, and they finance them for you. Like,
wow.
Yes. When I say finance them for you, I'm not talking about bank financing. They finance it for you. It's a rent-to-own situation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So why can't you get the property and put some tiny houses on it?
You could, but I would think more of a zoning type thing, because in the city of St. Louis, I haven't seen any of the tiny houses.
Oh, because you got to be the first one to do it. That's it.
Okay.
You
got to
be the first one.
Okay.
To do it. That's all that is. I mean, I got some plans for the tiny houses. Seriously. I was blown away. I mean, when you tell me that they'll finance the houses too, you get a wholesale deal. Get like 10 of those houses. Get a wholesale deal. Get you some property and make a tiny village. Yes.
Well, the property I just got in August, it's a lot of land next to it. And they say I can buy it for $25 because it's right next to the property I just got. Maybe I can put a little house
$25?
Right there.
$25? Wait, why haven't you bought it for $25?
Well, once I get the deed, then I can purchase it.
Okay, well, what's next to that land? Can we buy the land next to the land?
No, the what's next to that land is another house. I already looked into that, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, people, Tiffany is boots on the ground because she's buying land next to her land, okay? And that's the way to do it. You buy up everything around you. You buy up everything that you can, okay? Make it happen,
right.
But make sure you don't lose it in the tax bill. How about that?
Exactly. Pay the taxes.
You got to make sure that you pay the taxes because you don't want to buy something in the tax sale and then lose it because you didn't pay the taxes. I mean, that's a nasty cycle, okay? So we want to make sure that you all have the correct information. So reach out to us. We are blacksinbusiness@gmail.com. We will collaborate to get you what you need. Reach out to us. Keep listening to Black Talk Radio Network. This is Blacks in Business Radio. We want you to join us every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we will have enlightening conversations like the one that you just heard. But what we are going to do is bid you adieu, tell you good night, because this is the end of the programming. And feel free to share it with your friends. We are Blacks in Business. Good night, everybody.
Good night.